Well, look who decided to show up. Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm the late cousin, SEC Mike. Go by, SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's everybody's favorite cousin, Early Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on? Yeah, I jumped on the tube. I was like, I got to get it out there. I'm here. I'm sitting here. Because if I didn't, I knew Mike was going to blame me as soon as I got in here. Of course, cousins say my golf cart broke down. You know, I was fixing my hair. But no, brother, I tell you what, it's been a wild week, but I am glad to be here, and I'm glad to catch up with you guys.
Well, Shane, it doesn't matter how late we are. The legend, JR, strikes again.
The legend, cousin JR, has done it again.
Yay! Thank you, JR. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Ooh, this is a tough one, Shane. Elk shit. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of the legend,
the JR. Memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, JR.
But man, not to be outdone, Mike. Horton hears you coming off the top rope.
Well, apparently, Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership.
This time, Shane, it's stall 14. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Thanks to the legend, Horton hears you.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate you.
Hey, should we share the good news, Shane? Little show news here.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
We have been officially, and again, we don't, I got to be careful what I say here, Shane, because it's like anything and everything that the SEC allows us to do, we are just beyond thankful.
Yes.
You will never catch us complaining, but I may have shared this before, but, you know, our first year we applied to Media Days, like, I think we may have been the last two they approved to get in. Yesterday they sent out what's called the credentials so that you could cover Media Days, and man, less than a day later they said we're coming to SEC Media Day. So we are thankful once again to be down there. It's going to be down in Atlanta this year. Yep. College Football Hall of Fame, we even got a big booth. So I really wish they'd opened it up a little bit more to the fans.
Yes.
They do have how many of the cousins have actually been to the College Football Hall of Fame. It's really cool. It's worth checking out. But if you come during Media Days, they will let you in the main room, the front room. I don't know what you'd call
like
that.
Like the lobby?
Yeah, the lobby. So you could come hang out. And I think more important than us, Shane, that, you know, if you're a Georgia fan, you can meet Kirby Smart and some of the players. If you're a Tennessee fan, you can meet Josh Heupel. I think they spend a couple minutes down there saying what's up to the fans. So, again, people have asked us before. I don't think it's really worth making the trip unless you live close to Atlanta. But, but man, any cousins that come out, I'm happy to meet. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're in the area, if you're in the lobby or something like that, just be sure to message us and we'll be down there, man. I got to go through there. I mean, you can't get to Chick-fil-A without coming through the lobby. So I'll be walking right by it. And it's a pretty cool setup too, that lobby area. It's got every helmet up on the wall there. It's really cool for photos and everything. So I look forward to seeing all the cousins that make their way down there in Atlanta. But Mike, I also look forward to our time down there because we're going to give you guys so much content. I mean, we do interview after interview. It's the most exhausting thing I've done since walking 13 miles for that Florida Gator game. You know what I'm saying? It is mentally exhausted, but the content that comes out of there, I use throughout the year. So I look forward to seeing everybody down there and look forward to hanging out with you too, Mike.
Yeah, and I also look forward, Shane, to saying thank you to Cousin Glenn Warsaw. Shane, he gifted a membership too. This time, Shane, it's Jacob Rowletter. You have been gifted a membership.
Welcome to the family.
Thanks to Cousin Glenn.
Welcome to the family.
And, you know, it must be said, Shane, you know, we try to never lift, you know, we always try to say thank you and for all the support and everything. Without these donations, without this stuff, I mean, this stuff, again, this is costing us thousands of dollars. you know, again, not that I'm complaining, but we couldn't get down there without you guys tuning in, without, you know, membership. So, yes. I mean, without you guys, we, hell, we may not even be able to make it down there, you know, but we will make it for sure.
And, well, and thanks to all the donations, Flying Hawaii's even going to make it this year.
God, he better not get us kicked out.
Oh, I tell you, I was a little worried year one, my brother making it down there, but it is going to be good because there is a lot of back and forth and trying to get things uploaded. You know, it was tough because Mike would have to meet him at the elevator. It was just it was a huge project, but I promise things will be running a lot smoother this year.
Yes, and speaking of donations, Shane, again, we never asked for them. Cousin Brandon has come through with $5. Let's have a good evening. Go Rebs. We appreciate you, yeah. Cousin Brandon.
Appreciate you.
And we also appreciate, I mean, I forgot about this till Cousin Bend Over, Shane.
Uh-huh.
He said, is Shane getting ready for his fight?
Oh, yeah.
He made us a little graphic here. Anybody that missed it? obviously, the AI images, but they got Coach Elko, 8-4 record. I thought that was the funniest damn thing of the whole thing. And Cousin Shane, 13-0. Because heavyweight Cracker Barrel, battle of the last brisket.
Damn, Elko, 8-4. Oh, God, I love it. I love it, man. Man, football's right around the corner, ain't it, Mike? You know, I'm doing this countdown, and I'm in the 80s right now, and it just feels like it starts to melt off. Once you get in the lineman numbers, you know, I always say, once you get in the 70s and the 60s, then all of a sudden the kids are showing up, and we got camp going, and coaches are actually coming out with some real content. That's very close, Mike. We're talking media days is July. What are the exact dates? 13th, 12th, 13th, somewhere around there?
For media days, it's July 14th is a Monday.
Yeah.
And it runs to July 17th, which is a Thursday.
Mike, after that, it is on. You know what I'm saying? It is on. It's full news all the time. No more lists. Get that the hell out of here. So we're going to have some real – and we got – just, I don't know if Mike's wanting to share this, but we also got some pretty cool stuff coming up this college football season to get more news to you guys. So just kind of keep your ears to the ground, hit that like button, hit the notifications on, because if a show pops up in the morning, just be ready for it.
Yeah. The morning hangover. All right, Shay. So, hey, we got an absolutely loaded mailbag.
Yes.
You ready to jump into it?
Let's do it.
Okay. And as always, man, we really appreciate the questions. They're coming from a variety. I try to get all the best ones, YouTube, Discord, Twitter, some even email. So however you want to get it to us, let us know. And official cousins, of course, always get their questions answered on the YouTubes. So let's start out, Shane, with official cousin Jason Story. He says, hey, cousins, two questions for you. What SEC game was Mike and Cousin Shane the most hammered at? So are there any that come to mind, Shane? Because I got a good one. And as always, I should always say Shane doesn't see these till I ask him it. So I come a little bit more prepared. He likes to be more spur of the moment. So if you need me to go first, do you need me to do that?
Yeah, you go. What now? This isn't together, right?
No, I think it's just all time. I think it's better.
All right. While you're looking, I got to figure out the exact year, but I know exactly what football game it was. So yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So I was in the stands, Shane. I was a student at Tennessee. This was the very end. I mean, I think we all knew Fulmer was going down, but basically got fired 2008. Tennessee lost to Wyoming 13-7. It was one of the worst football games I've ever seen in my life. And that was not, and believe it or not, Shane, I've said this, I don't know if I've ever said it on here, but you know, you watch an SEC game, right? Mm-hmm. And they're playing a Wyoming or a Mercer or who in the hell ever. There's very few of those people in the stadium. They don't make that journey usually.
Right, right.
Somehow, some way, I didn't know the guy. He was a complete stranger. But a damn Wyoming guy was sitting next to me the whole game yapping. And, man, talk about a game I never want to remember, but here I am bringing it up.
And I'm glad you did, Mike. And I am, because that bought me some time to figure out this football game. Mike, the drunkest I've ever been. It was a weekend event. It wasn't just the football game. It was the buildup to the game. A lot of buddies. I'm surprised more photos haven't linked. Thank God iPhones weren't a thing back then. But it was 2006, Athens, Georgia, Tennessee, Georgia Bulldogs. That game, I mean, we were excited. We were pumped up. We thought, we're just going to go down here. We're going to whoop some ass. Georgia was up 24-14 at the halftime. And a brother, that was like Who Let the Dogs Out era. And people were playing the music. I remember that, like in and out of, like, not passing out, but like in and out of clarity. The more we were getting destroyed, the more I was drinking alcohol, Mike.
Here's the game. I got the stats up on the screen for any of the cousins that missed it.
Oh, yeah, that was such a great game. My favorite one was when we came back in the third quarter, I believe it was, we had a blocked – that was like the explosion. It was like a blocked punt or something. Yes, yes, there it is, 38-27. I mean, it was 31-27. It was a close game, but, man, Tennessee just lit their ass up in the fourth quarter. We went down there. The band was playing at the end of the game, and we were singing and stuff. But that one by far was the most, because I will say this. I've been to a lot of places, been a lot to a lot of college towns, and Athens, you know, at the time wasn't too bad. You know, they weren't as cocky as they are now. When we were down there, the bars were fantastic. You know what I'm saying? Like, we finally found it, like a Tennessee bar. Yeah. And it was just the whole atmosphere. It has to be near the top toward party towns, because we had an absolute blast there, and it made it easy to drink. So that was the drunkest. The second is the Tennessee Virginia Tech game at Bristol. We camped out, and if I didn't have to walk 3.8 miles and I sobered up during that walk, you know what I'm saying? I probably would have been more drunk, but that was a close second.
And true or false, Shane, I believe there is a photo evidence of a Slim Shaney riding that damn bulldog down in Athens.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Let's hope that one don't get out.
All right, then what other? Cousin Jason. He's an OU fan, I believe. Who's your prediction for the first defensive player to knock Baby Manning clean off his ass this year? I think it's got to be a guy from Ohio State. He's not saying let's not celebrate knocking out, but he's saying knocking down, getting to the quarterback, sacking the quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know Ohio State's players. I don't want to know them, but it'll probably be one of those guys, just because it's the first game. It's on the road, retooled, but very, very talented Texas offensive line. I think they give up probably a sack, but if I had to name one in the SEC, Shane.
Yeah.
I'm just picking the first game. And again, not it's not like I'm sitting here, Texas going to get rolled in Gainesville, but on the road, the swamp, give me Tyreek Sapp. This will probably be a night game. That one has not been determined yet, but I think give me Sapp gets at least one sack against Old Arch.
I think that has to be the one, right? Yeah. I mean, you could argue Oklahoma's going to get theirs as well, but
yeah,
I think Florida will manage to get a little bit. They're gonna have to dial it up, brother. It's on the road, it's in the swamp. That place is gonna be absolutely rocking, and usually that kind of favors the defense. And not saying Arch is gonna come out here with some butterflies, but my gosh, they better capitalize early. And I think that's why you're gonna dial up some pressure. So yeah, I think that's a great pick, man.
That's all I do, Shane. I give great picks.
That's why you were late. You're just thinking about all these great picks.
All right, let's move on, Shane. Another official cousin. Always get your questions answers. Texas Horns, NUT. I don't know if that's supposed to be nut. 801. Long one here, Shane. But basically, I there's talk of this this like play-in tournament at the end of the season, where like number one in the SEC would play number eight. Number two would play seven. Number three would play six. And the winners would go on into the playoff. He wants to know, why not, instead of doing it that way, which again, it's not confirmed that they are officially going to do that, why not play like number one SEC versus number one or excuse me, number eight Big Ten.
Yeah.
Number one Big Ten versus number eight SEC, and have make it an SEC versus Big Ten battle for all the playoff spots. And while that does sound enticing.
Yeah.
I heard this at someone that I spoke with at the spring meetings. I can't even remember who, but they laid it out to me like this, Shane, because there's a lot of talk of this, right? Where they're trying to turn this like championship, because the championship game is a little bit of a dud now.
Yeah.
How do we spice this up? Do we make it a play-in weekend? And they said, well, you know, that's basically what college basketball is now, mm-hmm. where people really don't start paying attention to college basketball until the conference tournament and then the NCAA tournament. And I realize it's different in football, but I'm afraid they might be right. If we turn that in, if we turn championship weekend mm-hmm. into just like berths for the playoff, I don't know. I think that could really hurt the sport, and I think that could hurt the regular season. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do worry about that. I mean, you would think playoffs ultimately are going to come down between two conferences. There's going to be a fringe team that pops up here or there, you know, wearing an orange jersey or something. But it just feels like it's going to come down to those two. And the easy fix, if you're looking at it from 30,000 feet, you'd say, hey, let's just put these two guys together. Let's make your own and let them duke it out. I think we're going to have some great football games. I think ultimately that's what we'll see in the playoffs more often than not. But I don't know. It kind of takes the heart and soul from college football, in my opinion. I like the fact that there's over 100 football teams, and some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them are fun to watch, some of them are upsets. I mean, if you just remove the Georgia States of the country, you know, it's like you don't get to talk about that game, you know, 10 years, 20 years from now with your cousins. So I don't know. I understand we're in the fast lane and we're trying to build this super conference league type deal, but
yeah,
I don't know. When you get to picking, like you said, it does take away, I believe, from those September, October games, and we start focusing on the end of the year because it's baseball. I look at my feed, man. There's half of these people I know ain't watched one damn baseball game, but all of a sudden they're pros at it, you know? Can't name one damn player on the team, but, you know, but that's the kind of the system that they've created. So, I think we're kind of on that fringe, and they just got to be careful. It's a slippery slope right now.
Yeah, and speaking of, I don't know how to transition from
slippery slope.
You had another one. It was good. But that was about 5 minutes ago in your spiel there. Yeah. Cousin Ben Dover, what a legend, Shane. He just gifted. Not only is he giving us graphics now, Shane, he is gifting memberships this time. Chance, welcome
to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of Cousin Ben Dover. I think he just wants me to say his name more, Shane.
I like his little picture, too. I think we need to put that on public tees and see if some folks can get those shirts.
Yeah, he made that. I'll put it up tonight.
I got a new one. I'll be wearing it Sunday. It won't be a Nautica. Sorry, Nautica is not sponsoring, so I don't care anymore. but I do got one coming in, so I will be wearing a different shirt come Sunday.
Well, you know who is another one of my favorites, Shane? Steven Up.
Come on. Roll Tide.
He gifted 5 memberships, Shane. 5. This time, Mike Sooner for Life Hurley. Blah, blah, blah. What a name. Talon Wolf. Is that supposed to be Talon or Talon? It looks like Talon to me. JTL and Scarecrow Boat. You have all been gifted a membership.
Welcome
to the family.
Thank you, Steve.
Welcome Thanks to the family.
To the legend, Steven Up. You know what?
Thank you, cuz. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
All right. Oh, hey, here's another one, Shane. This is a popular question that we get.
All right.
I feel like we've answered this a couple times, but again, it's off season. You know, you miss them, you whatnot. Shout out Darwin Lemon. He's another official cousin, so we're automatically going to answer his question. What week will the first SEC coach be on a real hot seat, and why is it Brent Venables? That's his question. But I have one. Remember, we did like the top hot seat game. So
yeah,
I think this one is pretty obvious. Would you like me to do mine first?
So this is when you think, like really a coach could get fired at any minute after a particular game or.
Well, he doesn't necessarily say fired, but he does say be on a real hot seat. So yeah, could get fired or.
Okay.
The way I look at it. And when we did our hot seat game rankings,
yeah,
it was more like, is the coach going to get fired Sunday after the game? Maybe not, but I think it could be the beginning of the end. If that makes sense. This is when the fans start piling on, you know, and then we lose this game, we lose that game, then all of a sudden we got to change this damn coach.
All right.
So I've got the perfect one. And I think it's for both of them. I should have. Wait, do you have one? Let me load my graphic here.
Yeah, while you're doing that, let's bring up the Florida Gator schedule.
Okay, perfect, because I'm going somewhere else. So this will work.
Because I do think there's other coaches that are on the hot seat, like a Sam Pittman, that ultimately could lose their job at the end of the year.
Right.
But there's only a handful of coaches that are kind of flirt with hot seats that I think could get fired during the year. And I believe Billy Napier could be one of those guys. And the reason is the meat of the schedule beginning September 13th for those audio listeners. Again, it's LSU, Miami, Texas, A&M, State, Georgia. You got Kentucky, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Florida State. There's just so many good football games on the schedule. And the problem that Florida is going to be running into is a lot of these talking heads out here are putting them on a pedestal and creating some standards, some expectations down there in Gainesville. And if you lose two or three games by October 18th, then I think you are in the crosshairs and look for a firing right after that November 1st Georgia game. So I'm not saying it happens, but I'm saying if I had to pick one, this is the one.
I'm not saying it happens, but I'm saying it happens. So this is the one for me, Shane. Again, these are the hot seats. I finally did a graphic for it. I think the answer is Auburn, Oklahoma. I think the loser of that game, again, is Auburn going to turn around and fire Hugh Freeze the next day? Probably not. Now, maybe if they lose to Baylor, too. You know, if they're sitting down the barrel at 2-2 with road trips at A&M and then they got Georgia, I mean, I don't think they'll fire him at that point, but I think that'll be the beginning of the end. And same thing for old Venables. If we're losing at home to Auburn, again, Auburn should be much improved. They, you know, they're kind of sneaky. A game here or there, they can beat you. But of all the SEC games Oklahoma has, I think Auburn is one of the most winnable.
Yeah.
If they're not winning Auburn, I don't see them winning many SEC games. Maybe two or three at most if they lose to Auburn. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense. I can't argue with that. I'm seeing a lot of Kelly. Can you bring up LSU real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the joke's week one because it's Coach Kelly, but
I think September 13th could kill him too.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you lose both of those games, I believe the wheel starts turning there. Not saying Coach Kelly gets fired after one, but again, looking at the schedule, I could see after a bye, Bama, that being your exit. So early November, because again, like Florida, the expectations are getting higher and higher because these are teams that we're talking about potentially flirting, not both with playoffs, but you know, with very successful season. Oh, hell, playoffs. Yeah. I mean, you can't have them top 10 and not be in a playoff. So if they fail to meet that and win eight games or seven games, then I could see it happening.
All right, how about this one, Shane, from our old buddy Kyle Lovinggood. Again, he's an official cousin who always gets his questions, and he always asks a question on his mailbags. We appreciate you, buddy. He wants, can you list all the bets that you have going into the season so we can keep track of them all and hold you both accountable? So I didn't have that yet, but we need to compile that and keep ourselves accountable because
we say shit all the time and then we forget about it. And then I watch a video 3 months later. I'm like, oh damn, did I say that? I know the Arkansas Tennessee one. I mean, cause we just had that one. If Arkansas beats Tennessee for every point, I have to eat a barbecue sandwich on the show.
Right.
I got a lot of shit over that one.
You got the coal mine one.
A lot of Tennessee fans think I pulled that like it's a win-win situation. So the coal mine, that's if Kentucky goes 4-0 in that opening stretch. And you had one.
Austin Simmons, if he's a top three quarterback, I'm going to go do 7 days in a row at the hot yoga for Kiffin.
Yes. Yes. I knew it was something like that. Maybe we need to do a graphic and like keep it updated here. But those are the three that I noticed. Is there another one out there that I'm not thinking of? Maybe the cousins will remember. I don't see any on here.
Yeah, they need to keep us accountable.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I guess we slid through. You need another one because it's. I feel a little uneven right now.
Yeah. Oh, we got plenty of time, buddy. Trust me. All right, how about this one, Shade, from cousin Mason Mullins. Again, he's an official cousin, so he's automatically going to get his question answered. How did the podcast get started? Whose idea? Buddy, I'll try to keep this brief because this is a little bit of a long story, but I used to work for a website called Saturday Down South, and then they had me host their podcast briefly. You go look it up if you want. I don't think it's worth looking up, but I did a couple, and they're called, I think I called them Recruiting Down South or Recruiting Down South. I can't remember if there was a G in there or not, the end of recruiting, but they let me host a couple, and I was awful, as all podcasters are when they start. And they said, all right, you're not ready for this. And I didn't take any offense to it. Cause I said, they're 100% right, Shane. I have no business behind a microphone. So it was a couple months after that, I started this, and man, it was pretty wild. Cause they threatened us to fire me immediately. And they basically threatened to fire me every couple months. They kept telling me to stop doing it. And then eventually what I did was I just started saving all my money and until I had a year's salary and I just quit. So that was several years ago and we're still going strong. That's kind of the story. And I think it started 2017, 2018. And Shane was not even the first co-host, but he came quickly, and that's when it took off. It was me and my parents listed before Shane joined.
Yeah, well, we built it together, you know, just hanging out, and on my end, it was supposed to be a one and done thing. You know, Mike said, hey, what do you think about coming on here? And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then it was, once you do it once a week, and then, you know, I had fun. I enjoyed it. It was kind of a break away from reality, just talking college football. I mean, you know, the grouping I was in at the time wasn't a whole bunch of SEC homers, so it was really nice talking. And then next thing you know, it took off, and there's a lot of cousins in this chat right now that were some of the OGs. So I appreciate you guys. You're the real reason we're at this point, because you spread the word. I mean, it was mainly you guys talking to somebody, hey, check out this show. And now I see it on Twitter and I see it on the YouTube. And it's a family business, brother.
Yep. All right. How about this one? All right. Great question here from cousin Sven. He's an official cousin, so he's automatically going to get his question answered. This is an interesting one, Shane. Austin Simmons, Ole Miss starting quarterback. He's already graduated. I didn't realize that till I guess he just graduated. And I think he's still like 19 years old. I think he started college at like 16 or something. So he's already graduated. Mm-hmm. And Sven says, good for him. And respect, even if it is Ole Miss. So he's still throwing shade because Fed is a Mississippi State fan. But he said, should there be a rule in college athletics that players of any sport have to participate in school if they can't play and get paid? So I don't know if maybe cousin Sven doesn't quite know how it's set up, and you know, it's pretty complicated, but you do have to go to school. Even if you are graduated, to keep playing college football. So what do you do then? Then you pursue a master's, and you can pursue another master's. There's some players that have gotten multiple master's while in college football. So just because he's graduated doesn't mean he doesn't have to go to school. He's still going to have to do at least a class. But what's tricky, Shane?
Yeah.
And they've been doing this for a long time now. I think it's the first time I heard it was, remember old Matt Leinart at Southern Cal?
Yeah.
Where like his class schedule was like billiards and bowling or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
So that's what they do with a lot of these guys during the fall. They give them like billiards and bowling.
Yeah.
And a lot of them,
basket weaving, we used to call it. Yeah, basket
weaving. And even now, a lot of them, they take online classes.
Yeah.
So they literally don't have to go sit in a classroom during fall. So that's kind of the way around that, if that makes sense.
And this online classes, don't get me started. These kids these days, my daughter, I was helping her post, I'm going to throw her in the bus. I don't think she's going to get caught. Hope not. But she was, she gave me this essay and she was having trouble uploading it to this online thing. And so I did it and I'm looking at this essay and I'm like, this may be the most well-written essay I have ever seen in my entire life. And my daughter did it. And I'm reading and I'm about a paragraph in here and there's about three words I've never heard her say. I was like, she don't even know how to spell some of these words. And I called her out on her AI bullshit. And but that's where they're at. I watched this video the other day. This girl, she was in a college class and she had her phone up to the computer and the screen was giving her the right answer and she was punching it into the computer. And one of the first comments on there says, we're not going to be able to trust any doctor in about 4 years from now. You know what I'm saying? They're all going to pass with flying colors, but then they're going to kill us when we get to the hospital.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that, Shane. All right. How about this one? Shade from Ags 1223 on YouTube. If Marcel Reed doesn't work out, could you see A&M spending big on a quarterback next portal season? I there's many reasons I wanted to read this one, Shane. First of all, because it's hell, we haven't even got to the season.
Yeah.
And this Aggie is like, hey, can we upgrade next off season?
Is this Kyle's burner?
Maybe. Shane, this is not a trick question. Do you know who led the SEC in scoring last year in conference games?
Is it a team or an individual?
I'm talking about a team.
No.
Like points scored.
It seems like A&M's a setup here.
It's A&M. And again, so is that all Marcel Reed? I'm not saying that, you know, but I think this kid catches too much flack. Given the fact that he didn't get any of the starting reps in fall camp, he had to be inserted after Connor Wigman went down. They put Wigman back in, and then they had to reinsert him, and he reignited him. Now, he had, I believe, six or seven interceptions the last, like, five games. That's too many. He's got to cut down on the interceptions. But beyond that, you know, again, did they lose the Auburn game because of him? They scored over 40 points. He completed a two-point play that was dropped. I don't think they lost that one because of him. Now, he didn't look good against Texas, but Texas had a hell of a defense, and a lot of people didn't look good against Texas last year. So, I don't know, man. I think it's a little crazy to be completely overlooking Marcel Reed. Am I crazy here?
I mean,
again, led the SEC in scoring in conference games.
No, I know. But I think the real fear is that he's a one-trick pony. And, I mean, obviously, probably the most athletic quarterback or up there, one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the country. And, I mean, you got to see it. It's showcased in a lot of games. You watch that LSU game. I'm just blown away with how athletic he is. But it's the next – I mean, it takes more than that. You know, you can win some games. You can win some big games. But can you win a playoff game? Can you win a national championship? You're going to have to be two-dimensional. And I feel like that was kind of the knock on him a little bit was, but that could also be offensive coordinator. That could also be him not being the number one in the offseason. So I can't really judge Reed yet. I will judge him heavily, you know, after 3 or 4 weeks, because he's been the guy the entire time, second year in the system. But if it fails, then you better damn believe A&M's going to go out there and get him a quarterback, because Elko going to be looking at year three and he's going to be under the gun. They're not going to give him the same rope that they gave Jimbo Fisher, you know?
Right. I was going to say, Shane, I say all that and I'll close on this. Go give DJ Lagway a blank check to come on home to Texas. You know what?
Absolutely, man. You better damn believe it.
All right. How about this one, Shane, from Zola Richards on the YouTubes? Let's throw up Texas schedule. He's got a question here. And I don't think this is a Longhorn, Shane. I think this is a big horns down fan here. What happens if Texas loses at Ohio State, against Oklahoma, and at Georgia? Again, not the craziest take, right?
Yeah.
That's all somewhat realistic. Would Texas still make the college football playoff, you think, at 9-3? But they probably have the three most, and I don't know if impressive is the right word, but the three most forgivable losses in the country if they're losing. None of these are at home. All of them are away from Austin. Do you think Texas makes the playoff if they go 9-3, but they lose to Ohio State, Georgia, and Oklahoma?
Nope. And I'm going to tell you why, Mike, because they made this argument last year, why 10-2 shouldn't get in because of their schedule. So I think that's the, oh wait, they weren't 10-2. Were they 11-1, 10-2? I don't know.
They were 11-1, but the whole thing was like, well, if they lose to A&M, do they get in? You know? So that was what we talked about for a week.
Yeah. But that's the fact. So if you lose three, and the three are the games that, you know, that we've been talking about your schedule not being bad, then absolutely not. So yeah, they cannot afford. I still think Ohio State, Georgia, you could get away with that one. 10-2, you're in, obviously, but I mean, 9-3 SEC teams got in last year. Yeah. So let's don't do that.
Right. All right. How about this one, Shane? I like this name, LA Chronics here. Does Arch Manning lead the SEC in passing yards this season? What do you think about that?
No, I don't think so. They're going to have a lot more balance, and I'm not expecting Manning to be in all those games too long. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I would expect a little bit more balance. I'm looking at teams like Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think Garrett Nussmeier, LSU, he can have a ton of passing yards.
Absolutely.
I think maybe John Mateer.
I mean, maybe Auburn. They didn't want to run the ball last year.
Yeah.
So I don't, those are a couple of teams I'm looking at just because the style of offense that they're going to be running.
Yeah. And then Chronic's got another question, Shane. Does DJ Lagway have the most rushing yards of all SEC quarterbacks this season?
Rushing yards. I don't think so.
Nope.
I think I'm going to go back with Reed. You just talked about him. I mean, the kid's a freak athlete. John Mateer's another one that's going to be up there.
Taylen Green.
I mean, there's a lot of great runners. I think DJ, honestly, would probably be in the bottom for rushing attempts and rushing yards in the SEC.
Lenora Sellers, that's probably the best candidate, you know?
Yeah.
Diego Pavia, another one. And that's not to say DJ Lagway's bad.
No, but you don't want him running.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. You don't want that guy running for his life.
Hell no. With his shoulder and everything, that's the last guy I want to see outside the pocket.
All right. How about this one, Shane? I love this question from cousin Charlie Taylor. And he emailed this one. So you can reach us that secpodcast@gmail.com. What do you think is more likely? So you got two options here, Shane.
Yeah.
Georgia makes the college football playoffs each of the next three seasons. So they got to do it every season. Or Florida makes it to the college football playoff once during the next three.
Say it again.
Georgia makes the playoff every single season for the next three seasons.
Yeah.
Is that more likely, or Florida just makes one college football playoff? So basically he's asking what's more likely, Georgia misses a playoff at any point in the next three, or Florida makes a single playoff at any point in the next 3 years?
This may surprise you because a lot of folks think I hate them, but it's definitely Georgia Bulldogs. I'm just kidding. I think it is the Florida Gators. And let me tell you why, Mike, because the scheduling, I feel like there's going to be some, like, relief after 2025 for teams that may have gotten screwed a little bit in the scheduling system. So I don't know if Napier's going to be there. I don't know, but Florida, just, it seems like they're more likely to hit at least once than Georgia going three times in a row, in my opinion. So I may be wrong.
Couldn't you argue as well, though, that Georgia kind of got screwed with the scheduling? They got to play Tennessee, Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, Florida. They really got screwed, too. So I love what you said about Florida, because I think they'll give them a break. They may give Georgia a break, too. Ooh, bet you didn't think about that.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
You think, but I do think you're right, Chad. I do think you're right.
Our friend Greg Sankey is like, you know, how can I help Georgia 26 right now?
Because I just think that I just think it's so hard to sustain.
Yeah.
You know, and one key injury, you know, particularly a quarterback, that could kill a playoff type run. And last year, again, it may have been an outlier, Shane, but we saw mighty Georgia drop two football games in the regular season. I mean, when has that's, you know, they had their worst record, and again, worse, 11-3, worst record since since 2018. You know, non-COVID year, of course, but I just think it's, I don't know. I think it's very, very, very difficult in today's age with the portal, with NIL. I think Georgia will still be there. But if you made me bet the mortgage, Shane, on a team just missing it.
Yeah.
Even if it's mighty Georgia, I think I would put my chips there. Now, if Billy Napier flames out this year, I'll probably be dead wrong, because I don't know that Florida will rebound and get there. But I still would kind of put my money on Florida to make one over the next three.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Oh, Emily, she is trying so hard to be donating, and I'm watching in the comments here. She's going to her kids' computers and everything like that. Mike, I can't argue with what you're saying at all. Georgia Bulldogs will most likely. I now that I'm rethinking this, man. I mean, now that the playoff maybe even getting bigger, I think I'm going to go with the Georgia. I mean, it could be either one. I'm going to go Georgia Bulldogs.
You're covering all bases. I like it.
Yeah.
But how about shout out Cousin Alan? Shane, he just gave us $5. Alan Casali, I hope I didn't butcher that. How much more rope do you give Shane Beamers? Is the fandom he holds too much to ever get rid of? I'm trying to figure out if he likes Shane Beamer or he doesn't based on this question here. But Shane tried to damn run his ass off last year, and I think he's doing a hell of a job. I don't think he's even remotely close to the hot seat, and you could make the case that he's got the best offensive and best defense player in the conference next year.
Well, and that's my fault. I mean, I went down there and I apologized. I did the right thing, Mike, you know, but you got to remember, we were coming off of 23 seasons. 2022, we were on cloud nine. You know what I'm saying? The way we ended that season, we go into 23, it was just absolute trash. Hated watching it. And I felt like 24, we were even going to be worse. And then just goes to show you, Shane Beamer goes out here, finds a couple diamonds in the rough, and then next thing you know, South Carolina's only back, but they're competing for a playoff spot. So
to your credit, Shane, they looked horrible against Old Dominion.
Yes, but it shows that you can. It buys you a bad year. One good year in Columbia buys you a bad year. So,
right,
five wins. I still think Beamer's back, but you know, you do that 2 years in a row, then I think we're going elsewhere. That's kind of where I'm at.
Hey, we got one more, Shane. What a generous bunch of cousins here. This one from Chance gave us $10, Shane. If I could guarantee Lenore Sellers has just a good year.
Yeah.
Do you trust Shane Beamer to get it done in the other two phases and make the college football playoff? I wouldn't, Shane, and I'll tell you why, because you know, again, Beamer ball, that's kind of like a it's kind of silly, but I do like saying it when they do a fake punt or something like that.
Yeah.
But they are replacing literally everybody on special teams. Mm-hmm. Kicker, punter, holder, snapper. I mean, for all phases of special teams. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be a train wreck, but I love that special teams coordinator they had, Pete Limbo.
Yeah.
Who now he's kicking ass. I think he's at Buffalo. I think he's winning big. And I just recently learned he coached Shane Gillis college football, which is another pretty cool thing. But again, I don't think they're going to be elite in special teams. They may not be a train wreck, but they're not going to be elite there. Now, they could be. They may have really turned the corner on defense. They may be elite on defense again. But if Sellers is just a good year, I don't know, man. I think you need him to be top three quarterback in the SEC to make the college football playoff with this schedule. What's your thoughts on that?
Would you, looking at the 24 season, consider that a good year for Sellers or a great year?
Probably just
overall, because there were some bad games.
Closer to good.
Yeah.
But he got way better at the end.
Yeah. But he was real bad at the beginning. So, right. And he was young. I get that. So I would say 24 was a good year. So that's kind of where I'm at. And, you know, that puts you at 9-3 last year. It'd be tough to argue that it couldn't get you there this year. But
they also had four of the top, like, 50 players in the draft, too.
Well, I mean, they didn't coming into 24 season. It's like they became that. And that's one thing South Carolina is notorious for here lately is identified talent, making talent, becoming talent, and now they're in the NFL. So I'm not saying that the roster doesn't have it right now. Maybe we just don't see it or we're not giving it the recognition it deserves. So if he has a good season, yes, I think 8 wins is on the board, 9 possibly. But you're right. He has got to have how he finished the last of the season last year. He's going to have to be the X factor that takes them to that next level.
Right. So not playoff, right? If he's just good. I mean, they missed the playoff last year.
I know. No, I can't. I can't. Schedule's too tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we just got a new member, Shane. Brandon Riley. Welcome
to the family.
We appreciate you, cousin Brandon.
Welcome to the family.
I love that sound effect. It's so good. All right. How about this one, Shane? Man, we got a lot of... we'll hold off on that one. How about this one, Shane, from...
Sounds like food.
Pharrell Bean.
What a name.
Most underrated quarterback... receiver duo. So we're going duos here next year in the SEC. And he says, I'm thinking Bo Prabula and Kevin Coleman from Mizzou. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Who do you think most underrated quarterback receiver combo in the SEC? I've got two here.
I just got this. So you go first.
I'm buying the hype, Shane. Gunnar Stockton. I think.
Damn, I should have went. That's
I think he's very underrated.
Yeah.
And I've been brainwashed by Rusty. Dylan Bell, come on. Nobody's talking about Dylan Bell being a key receiver in the SEC. So that's my number one option. My number two option. And credit Shane for shouting this guy out on the last episode. Austin Simmons, quarterback, and Caden Lee at receiver. Again, the question isn't who's the best quarterback receiver. This is the most underrated.
Right.
I think it's right. Gunner, Dylan Bell, and a close second, Austin Simmons, Caden Lee. No, I picked multiple, so you couldn't.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's what you do to me every time.
You got me. Because Gunner was the first one that came up and you know, throw your dart at a wide receiver. Because it may not be Bell. It may be Branch. It may be one of those guys. I feel like nobody's talking about Gunner. There's folks out there that think Georgia is not going to make it because they don't have a quarterback. And I don't know, man. I think Gunner may be the one that takes the reins over. You know what I'm saying? Like, hell, he's got more talent than any other Georgia quarterback's had down there in a while.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about Oh, what a name, Shane. The Figgler. And he goes also by Big Blue Gator. So we know, obviously, he's a Gator fan. This comes on Twitter. Is 9-3 really good enough for Florida this year? Year 4 for Billy Napier, yielding unquestionable results. This ain't Illinois, he says, Shane. Are the Gators becoming complacent? Many coaches before Billy Napier had appeared in the SEC championship game and had far superior records, but still got canned. What do you think, Shane? Getting to 9 wins, 9-3, that's not even a damn given for Napier, but would that satisfy Florida fans, and should it? I mean, it is the real question.
No. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, this is a complicated one. This is why I wanted to read it.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. That should not be good enough, right? But, and I've called Billy out many a time, Shade. Hell, I just went on Five Off and said, I think they got a 10-2 roster and an 8-4 coach. So, you know, if they fire him, I think they're probably making the right move.
Yeah.
But I also think this is hard to answer. We don't like to go a step further with the analysis sometimes. So sometimes you know, what do they say? You are what your record says you are. I don't necessarily agree with that right now in college football, just because of NIL, because of the transfer portal, because they've changed divisions. You know, we've added teams. There's just like so many moving parts, and that shouldn't excuse like a horrible coaching job. You shouldn't be able to just keep your job. But I do think there's teams, and I think Florida is right there, that has had some serious miscues when it comes to NIL. You know, Jaden Rashada, all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. They've lost some key guys via the portal, but now they've kind of turned it around, and now they're using NIL wisely. They're signing a bunch of kids. They're retaining their roster. They got DJ Lagway. So, I mean, it's come a lot slower than you want, but I also think it's fair to say, well, this is just like, He's right, and I've made that point. You know, Mullen and Jim McElwain, they made the SEC championship game.
Yeah,
I said Billy Napier, only time he'll get to SEC championship is he buys a damn ticket, and I still believe that. But Mullen and them didn't have the portal, they didn't have NIL, they didn't have this, that, and the other, and they were playing in the SEC East, which was the weaker division. So mm-hmm. I think there's many ways to look at this, but historically, no, 9-3 is not good enough. But I do think that should be good enough for Billy Napier.
9-3?
Just this year. I'm not saying every year. Yeah. But no, hell, he hasn't sniffed 9-3 yet.
Yeah, that's significant. So if he gets
there, you know.
That's substantial improvement, in my opinion. So, because you're not even counting the bowl game, which,
right,
you know, one of the wins was here. Yeah, I think two win improvement and I think you're right. I think you're right. And it does show an improvement. And the side note, Mike, just everything that's going on right now in college football, you know, maybe it's like people not wanting to buy a house right now. You know, it's like, I'm just going to hold off till the interest comes down. So I feel like that's kind of where Florida will be as well.
And bend over says keep Billy forever. So maybe that's right.
Next year's their year, you know?
Hey, how about this one? Here's what we overlook, Shane. Appreciate you. Cousin Josh Weaver gave us $5. Underrated quarterback receiver combo. Talen Green, outstanding Talen Green, and Omega Blake, the transfer, Shane. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could be their number one target down there in Arkansas. That's a hell of a pick by Josh.
That's a good one. No, I do like that. That'd be a fun one to pronounce, too. Talon and Omega there.
All right. Last one, Shay, before we get to the food questions, which I know you love. Shout out Gamecock Zach on the Discord. Why is there not more support for the May spring transfer portal window? He says he would cut down. I think what he's saying is just have it in the spring. That would cut out perhaps on bowl playoff opt-outs. Align better with academic calendar and the end of the coaching cycle and all that stuff. So what are your thoughts on that, Shane? If they only had one spring or one portal window, which the coaches are dying to get to.
Yeah.
Gamecock Zach says, there's reasons to put it in the spring. What do you think?
I get that. But, you know, I honestly, if I had to pick, there'd be one portal and it'd be after every football game is played, period. Yeah. And then after that, you open it up, let the kids do what they need to do, and then get back to work. Because, you know, just this whole academic trying to, you know, do this. I mean, we got kids, like you said, online doing basket weaving classes and stuff like that. It's like, come on, we're not really interfering with too much here. I do think we need one portal window, unfortunately. And it's like you have to pick the best of both. So I'm going to go with the one in the winter as opposed to the one in the spring, because nothing's worse than putting all that time in with a kid and then he go to like California or something, you know, right. And then all of a sudden you left your pants down and you can't get another wide receiver or quarterback or whatever you're chasing.
Yeah, it's almost like that happened to you, Shane. But you're 100% right. And again, you could talk academics, but also remember this, Shane, where it seems like about half these guys graduate high school early and enroll in January anyway.
Yeah.
So their academic calendar is actually different than a normal student. They're probably used to that being the start. You know, it doesn't matter where they are in their college career, that they're used to that. That's one. And B, you know, he says Gamecock Zach, you know, maybe that would cut down a bowl and playoff opt outs. I think it would cut out the playoff opt outs, but I don't think it would cut out on the bowl opt outs. I think players would still opt out, and they would just sit out for a couple months and train.
Yeah,
because they're just eyeing their next spot. They're not going to play in a bowl game if they already know they're going to leave or if they're thinking about leaving. I think they're goners personally. And yeah, for spring, I understand it. And, you know, again, I don't take the coach's side on a lot of stuff because they make so much money. I think they make too much money, but again, they bring in money too. So
yeah,
but they have 100% fair point, Shane. Why? And you just said it. Why do you want to invest in a kid in spring if he's just going to jettison via the portal? I think it's so much more valuable to a football program in late January, early February to have your roster and know what it's going to look like in the fall. Because then you could practice, you could develop, you could train. Hell, you could be fourth string in February. If you work your ass off, you could be the starter come the fall. Yeah. You know, that's the way it should be. And the spring portal really kind of kills that. And, oh, by the way, we lost all these damn spring games. That wouldn't be an excuse if we got rid of this spring portal. And I think we really need to get back to spring games because I think we lost something without that. I know it wasn't the same spring for me.
No, absolutely. And it's the spring practices too. Like you said, you're seeing less and less development because of it, because kids are afraid to get played here. You know, it's like, why put out team one, team two, and then all of a sudden the guy on team three is like, well, shit, I ain't even going to sniff the field, you know. But the way they're doing it now, they're letting everyone participate, and there's just this, we're playing this game, this charade, until we get past the portal, and then all of a sudden, okay, now let's hammer out our depth chart. So I just think it's bad ultimately for the sport and the players, because if the kids ain't getting it, then, you know, then it's going to hurt them in the long run.
Hey, Cousin Brodo, I haven't seen him in a while, Shane. Underrated combo, receiver, quarterback, Carson Beck, and the other team's defense.
Damn.
Hey, Cousin Benny coming in. He coming in late, Shane. I'm late, but Shane, you look noticeably smaller. Keep it
Thank
up.
Thank you. Appreciate it. 67 pounds this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Went golfing today. Man, it was hot as hell. Only did 9 holes, though, by myself, and I was playing really good. I was like,
no one will believe it.
Nobody's going to believe it.
All right. Well, hey, speaking of all that weight loss, time for you to eat, brother. Cousin Trey.
Yeah.
Tucker on the Discord. Wait. Oh, sorry. I always get confused, Shane. He does have a food question, but he also has a SEC football question. Oh, buddy. I probably should have done some research for this one. What would the records be if you took the three hardest SEC schedules and the three easiest and switched them, including non-conference? What difference would that make? Again, that's a tough one to research, but I think the three easiest, Shane, are clearly Mizzou.
Yeah.
At least on paper. Ole Miss and Tennessee. Is that fair, you think?
Mizzou, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, if you gave them Florida, Georgia, or, well, hell, Texas is in there too, aren't they? But Texas got Ohio State. At least they've done that. I don't think any of those teams would be in playoff consideration. Mizzou, Ole Miss, Tennessee, if they had a damn gauntlet. Do you think that's fair?
That's fair. If you gave Florida Mizzou schedule, let's play that game.
Ooh. Now, yeah, Florida, I think Florida, Oklahoma, Shane.
Yeah.
Let's do Oklahoma as well. And Mississippi State.
Yeah, or South Carolina.
They may not be much better. But I think if you gave Oklahoma or Florida Mizzou schedule, I think both of them are walking to the playoff.
Yes. You know, I have dreams about these schedules, mainly Florida. I think because I see them so much, I wake up and I'm like, oh, September 6th, the Bulls, you know? Yeah.
All right. How about now? Here's the real Trey questions. This is what we're here for, Shane. Food questions to close us out. Fried eggs or scrambled eggs, Shane? And before you answer, Cousin Trey says ketchup is an act of terrorism on them eggs, so you're not allowed to use ketchup.
Oh, I agree. I am not. Now, I have been to some places that made some bad eggs, like powdered eggs, you know?
Right.
Not ketchup, but hot sauce is a necessity with those guys. But obviously fried egg. I'm not even close.
Really?
Ooh? Ooh?
I don't think you know how to make scrambled eggs based on that answer. But
we just talking like a basic scrambled egg with maybe some salt and pepper? Are we putting cheese in there? Are we getting creative? Because if not, then yeah, give me a fried egg 9 times out of 10 here. I'll eat any egg, but I'm going fried.
Now he says no ketchup, but have you ever had salsa on eggs?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, no, I don't think so. No,
it's good. It's good.
No, I've had hot sauce. You know, so
yeah, hot sauce is also good.
Yeah. Yeah. The hot sauce is kind of the move there. But, you know, honestly, the older I've gotten, I like, what is it called? I think it's called over hard. Have you had those? That's like my egg right now, because it's really good on a sandwich. It doesn't run everywhere. It's not a mess. You know what I'm saying? But it's still fried. So that's the move right now. Can't go wrong with a good hard-boiled
egg. I love the fact though that you like, you know, you're like, you have an egg of the choice for now. Like it could change.
It could change. Yeah. You know, growing up, my favorite egg was Mamaw eggs.
Dippy eggs.
our grandmother, she would make them eggs that were soft bowls and it had a little cup and everything. I mean, it was fancy. And then you take the top off, and then you get some toast, and you dip down in it. And as a kid, brother, there wasn't anything better than that. Then when you get done, you put a piece of bread in there, peel it, and then you eat it, you know? So you didn't get it that much. You were out there out west, you know? So that's why I got fat and you stayed skinny, because I was eating Mamaw eggs all the time.
Yeah, that's literally the only part I think that is not healthy for you. It was what you guys were downing.
Oh yeah, was that her pancakes? You know, so yeah, she was such a good cook. But yeah, that is the my egg choice.
Okay, how about your bacon choice, Shane? Crispy, thin, or thick cut bacon?
Damn. You know, I think I like a good crispy bacon right now. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to eat ham. You know? Yeah. I mean, some people come out like this ultimate bacon, you know, and you're just like, wait a minute, this is just country ham. Now give me a nice crispy piece of bacon.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. But have you ever had, it's, you know, where some people do like the brown sugar and the syrup and they kind of like, it's still thick, but they kind of like, I don't want to say overcook it, but they make it.
Yeah.
You know, that's tough to beat too, but I would agree with you. I think crispy thin is the way to go, but the thick cut, if it's got brown sugar, if it's got a little maple on it.
Yeah.
That's tough to beat too.
But you could crisp up a nice thick bacon too, you know? So I like that. I'm not too big on the candied bacon. You know, that was like a thing for a minute. Everybody wanted chocolate bacon and candied, you know, sugared bacon. I mean, I'd eat it, but it's not like I woke up that morning thinking I want some of that. So,
right.
Yeah, a little bit overrated.
Sausage patty or sausage link?
Damn. Both. Just depends where I'm at. You know, if I'm at, you know, it's funny because the sausage I like is like a Swaggerty sausage, and we do it here at the house. It's nice and crispy. Then you get to some of these restaurants and it's more like a, I mean, it's not crispy at all. you know? So at that point, I want a sausage link. So give you an example, prime example, Cracker Barrel. I love Cracker Barrel, but I would prefer links over sausage, you know? So,
so it really just depends on where you're at.
Yes. And the fact I'm a trained professional, I know what restaurant I'm at and what to get. Mm-hmm. You know, I go to a Waffle House. Give me the sausage, you know? So
wait, which one, Patty or Link?
Patty.
Okay. You just said sausage.
I think home patties are the best. Hot sausage patties. If I'm out, more likely I'm going to get a Link because they're all kind of the same, you know?
Cousin Adam says, in quotes, I need it. Shane 2025. Cousin Trey says, you need a hat. Mm-hmm. That on a hat. maybe we put that on the T Public. All right, oatmeal or grits?
See, this is where you get in trouble because people lie. People sit here and they say, oh, I love grits. I'm Southern. I love grits. Bullshit. You like oatmeal with brown sugar just like everybody else. So give me oatmeal.
I never got into grits. I thought I was alone.
No. I mean, I'd eat it. What did you say?
All right. Hash brown or shredded, the hash brown. So I think he means, you know, like the full one or the shredded one, like at Waffle House.
Yeah. Waffle shredded. Yeah. That's the easiest one with some onions in it. And,
I like the other one. I as long as it's really crunchy, if it's floppy, it's they're horrible.
You're talking like McDonald's, they come with them little slider things.
Yeah. Give me that all day.
No, give me hash brown shredded. I think that's the move. The only other potato, Pals, has a fantastic cheddar round. Oh my gosh. I've told you it should be served all day long. They're not, but that's the best potato in the morning.
What about tater tots? I mean, because where does that, because
Sonic tater tots are good. Sponsor of the SEC. Appreciate you.
Right. But that's not a shredded, right? That's more of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it is just like what you're talking about. It's good, but I mean, it serves a purpose, but you go to Waffle House and you get their hash browns. That's the move. You know what I'm saying? That's why you're there, is to sop up all that drunkenness that you have. So
servant called you a sausage connoisseur.
Yeah.
Cotton says you're going to have to change your drawers after this. All right. Last one, Jay. Last one. Stuffed waffles. I don't know if I had a stuffed waffle or stuffed French toast. And you get to pick any of the, whatever the stuffing is, your choice, stuffed waffle or stuffed French toast.
Yeah, I'm not a, believe it or not, a stuffed guy. I will say a wonderful restaurant, Pancake Pantry, Gatlinburg. There's one in Nashville. They do crepes. So that's kind of like a, because it's like a rolled over cheese blintz type deal. Mm-hmm. So even though that didn't fix the list here, that's where I would go.
Oh, Cousin bent over, so Shane's going straight to Waffle House. He just started the car.
Yes.
And then Jeez Louise became a member. Jeez, welcome to the family.
Welcome to the Jeez family. Louise.
What took so long?
He said the food segments are the reason I become a member. Maybe we just need a food hour or something. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. I love breakfast. And honestly, I'm in a hash browns or corned beef hash. Something you not mentioned is also pretty damn good. Maybe the older I get, when I was younger, that wasn't a thing. But the older I've gotten, the more I've appreciated the old corned beef hash.
All right. Well, I think that's a perfect place to end, Shane. Got anything else before we hop offline?
Warm the truck up. No. I think that's it, man. See you guys tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. So that's going to do it. Appreciate all the questions, all the donations, all the members of the family. Yeah, I guess that's going to do it. We'll catch you on the next one. Shane's got to go. We've made him too hungry here.
Yes, I will see you Sunday. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.